this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey everybody, Jason Wheeler here. Whitely, once again, is spending some time away from me, enjoying more days without me near his side. And you know what? It's mutual, so that's fine. We're both getting a little bit of a break here. He always chooses really busy weeks to take off. There are a lot of things going on in politics this week, but we wanted to carve out a special place in our lineup this week to bring this early release to you because it is a very important topic and it was front and center here in Texas this week. Now, because Texas Senator Ted Cruz is now the ranking member of the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, he is able to hold what they call field hearings, and he held his very first one at UNT in Dallas. The subject, bipartisan legislation that he is sponsoring called the Take It Down Act. That bill would criminalize non-consensual intimate image abuse. That's when someone posts without consent intimate images of someone else, whether those are real pictures or if they are deep fake nudes that are very realistic these days and are created with artificial intelligence programs. Now, this bill would also require tech companies to quickly take those images down when they are notified. Now, one reason that this was held here in North Texas, this field hearing, is because a brave teenager lives here. She and her family, in fact, reached out to Senator Cruz after she was terrorized last year when deep fake nude photos of her were posted when she was just 14 years old. So we start our conversation with now 15-year-old Elliston Berry and her mom, Anna McAdams, who gave us an education about this problem and how they found a solution. So Elliston and Anna, thanks so much for being with us. I know this is a difficult topic, but it's a very important one too.
Thank you.
So Elliston, you're going to be a sophomore this upcoming school year?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You don't have to call me sir. It just makes me feel older. And so you were a freshman last year. I can remember, I guess I am older. I can remember back to freshman years. I can still remember it at least. And just all of the pressures that go along with that and how it's a hard time in life. You were 14 there as a freshman. And in October of your freshman school year, you went through hell. You had your Instagram photos of your face, your hair, put into artificial intelligence by another teenager. And they created fake nude images. And this has really become a thing that has affected so many young people across the country. Can you pick up the story from that day, that morning when you woke up and these things are floating around out there in the world and explain? Because again, you know, for people who aren't familiar with this, this was your face, it's your hair, but certainly the rest of what was created was not you. But nonetheless, you woke up to a terror.
Yeah, well, before you start, so what this kid did was kind of opposite of what you just said. So what he did is he used an app called DNGG, and all it does is strip you. So it was her body. It was all the girls' bodies, their heads, their faces, everything, and he just stripped the clothes off of them. So that's why they're even more realistic than just, you know, putting a face on a nude, a random person. It was their bodies. So it looks exactly like child porn. I mean, it's so real.
So thanks for that correction. So this goes, that's what makes it even more realistic. And Mom, I know that you've said that this is child porn. It's stunning what can be done with AI.
Yes. Most definitely.
So Elliston, kind of tell us if you can, you know, you wake up that morning, you know, it's like any other morning, you're going to get ready for school, et cetera. What happened on that day?
Well, it was a normal Monday for me. I had just gotten into the routine of volleyball going to school and just that routine. And then I had woken up just a normal Monday with a whole bunch of messages and phone calls with one of my really good friends just texting me saying that these photos of her and I and another one of our friends were going around. So she had sent me a collage of both of her and I's photos, as well as the original photo of her. And she was like, I made this, like hinting at the collage, to show that her photo was fake. And because it was her Instagram photo and then the nude and then my AI nude. And she had sent me this collage to show that they were fake, and that she was wanting me to put the original photo from my Instagram up just to prove to everybody that these photos were fake. And my initial reaction was I was just totally shocked. I had never even thought that this could have happened. And I didn't even know what to even think. I couldn't process what was going on just because I was so shocked. And it was terrifying. And the first thing I did was go and tell my mom, and I was crying, and my mom and my stepdad were very supportive and they were helping me calm down. And the first thing that they did was they called the school immediately. So I still had to go to school and I still had to go to volleyball practice. But throughout all of that, I had no idea what to think. I was so shocked and overwhelmed with everything going on because my friend was still calling me and is trying to figure out what to do. And she's like, do I tell my parents? She's asking if I told my parents, and she's asking if we're going to school, just everything, what to do. And I had no idea what to do. And I was so overwhelmed. I was so scared. And by second period, I had been in the office giving my statement to the police officers.
Wow. What a day. Let's walk through a couple of pieces of that day that you just described there. First of all, so you're confronted with these images that obviously these are not you, but you're confronted with these images that are out there in the world saying that they are you. Your mind is already blown from that. I would imagine at the age of 14 that even if these aren't nude images of you, it's really awkward to approach your parents to show them this and explain to them what has happened.
Absolutely. I was scared to tell my mom because I didn't even think of, I didn't know how to come about the situation. And I was fearful if I told her, she'd think that they were real, or it's just embarrassing. And I felt shameful, and I didn't want to tell her, but I knew that it was just going to get worse if I didn't tell her.
Mm-hmm. Congrats, mom, though, for having the kind of relationship with your daughter where she was able to come to you. You know, you hear about the friend and you hear about so many other kids who internalize this and they try to, you know, put out this fire on their own because they're so embarrassed or ashamed or they think they won't be believed.
Yeah. Well, I'm an open book, so I try to do that with my kids as well. Like, you can tell me anything. It's just the way it's going to be. But we can talk and communicate and we can work through anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful that we've had that and she was able to come, because that's what I think ultimately helped all the girls, was just all the families kind of coming together, you know, really relying on each other through all of this.
Yeah. And Elliston, so you know, continuing through your school day here. So, you know, you go to school, you've already gotten all these text messages and all these calls, you know, this stuff is floating around out in the world. You've given a statement in the office by second period. You know, law enforcement is involved here. How did you get through that day? You know, because I can only imagine how much the kids must have been talking, et cetera. How'd you get through that day?
Well, I was so scared and overwhelmed, and all I could think about in class was just what other people were saying and who had seen these photos. And although I didn't hear a lot of talk, it was all just really hard on me mentally because it's all I could think about. So thankfully, my mom picked me up, and after I had given my statement, my mom let me come home, just because it was so overwhelming and I couldn't even focus in class.
I can see that. And you talk about the other families and how everyone sort of came together here. How many classmates in total were victimized in this instance?
Around nine.
Well, there was nine of them altogether.
Nine. Wow. And you think of the damage, the fallout from that, not only for those nine young people, but their families as well. I, you know, can start to imagine what it must be like, but, you know, when you're a 14-year-old girl, you know, your whole world is changing. It's an awkward age in a lot of ways anyway. You've just started high school. Kind of talk about, you know, what that is like at the age of 14 to be confronting something like this.
Well, everybody's on Snapchat and social media, and that's just that's everyone's main form of communication. And that's what basically my school and my class, and that's all my friends use. So with this situation, I was just so scared that everybody had seen this. And with that, everyone has their own opinions and everyone has their own ideas of what's going on. And it's really hard because since they're fake, it felt like my responsibility to have to tell everybody that they were fake. And it was so hard because I can't reach, my class alone is 600. So I didn't know how I was going to be able to tell 600 different people that these are fake. And it was just so overwhelming knowing that.
Yeah, plus the rest of the high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It was just so overwhelming knowing that I had to do that for myself and for the other girls involved. And it just seemed like I couldn't do anything. I felt so helpless and stuck.
Yeah, that's the problem here too, isn't it? That these things are not only created and you're traumatized in that way, but then it's amplified so quickly and it moves so fast that it's almost like there's no way that you can get out there in front of it. You know, Mom, I'd like to know how you were on that day as well. You know, in addition to the days that followed that, because, you know, just being a parent, I know, you know, your number one job is protecting the kids, you know, and in this case, you know, as a parent, you're not able to protect the kids.
No. And that was what was so devastating for me and my husband. I mean, we didn't have any kind of tool to navigate this, you know, and you think you can protect your child until something like this happens and you realize it's totally out of my control. You know, we really had no control. We didn't know who it was. He continued to do it through the week. You know, we'd wake up and it'd be another girl and another girl, you know, up to the nine. And we just couldn't stop him. I mean, we knew his Snapchat accounts, but we didn't have a clue who he was. And so it just, you know, for us, I think in the beginning, the school and the sheriff, I don't know that they really took us seriously. I mean, they knew it happened, but they were like, okay, well, we really don't know who it is. No, they didn't really know what to do either, because there's nothing in law written for the sheriff and there's nothing in the student code of conduct. So, you know, the school's like, well, my hands are tied, and which I found later that that's not necessarily the truth, but they didn't know what to do. So by the second day, so this is the Tuesday of that week, people who were getting the pictures had started to reach out to this kid and say, why are you doing this? You know, what are you doing? You need to stop. This is awful. You know, and his responses were, I want to go out with a bang. I want to ruin the girls. So when he started threatening that, I mean, my level of mama bear, me and my husband just went up, because, I mean, who knows? I mean, in today's world, you know, there's shootings, there's bombings, you know, so we again went right back to the school and we're like pressing them. You've got to do something. You've got to do something. He's threatening now, not just our daughters, but our school safety, you know, and they didn't really want to hear that. But I was like, you have to take this seriously. We don't know. So besides the fact that the pictures are out there, now the girls feel like, oh my gosh, he could come and hurt us physically. So that whole week was really the girls, they allowed the girls to kind of stay out of school, which was really great. So they did online school that week up until that Friday.
Anna, so it seems like, you know, for institutions, it's hard for them to kind of get moving on something like this and to take it as seriously as obviously you do as a parent, and Elliston, you do as a victim who's been through something like this. You know, for parents out there who, or, you know, even administrators, law enforcement, et cetera, who think, you know, they don't give much thought to this. It's something that hasn't come into their lives. It hasn't affected their kids. You know, you were one of those parents too at one point who never thought about this, probably. Right. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah, it really can, no matter what age you are. But the fact that, you know, they were underage, it's just horrific.
Yeah. Were you surprised that, I mean, law enforcement's involved on this, the school's involved on this, Snapchat knows about this at this point. Were you surprised that, you know, no one could just take it off of there and get something done, and that there was really nothing in the law that said it had to be done? Did that surprise you?
I think it surprised me. Well, it didn't. This is the third incident at her school that this has happened to. So one of them was a boy, actually. It was a revenge thing where his ex-girlfriend took his photo, made nudes, and sent it out. The other one was a bullying, which was an eighth grader at the time, and she wanted to commit suicide. So we've got this this is happening at the school and they're not doing anything. So by the time we got it, I was done. I was like, okay, I've heard of other instances. Didn't ever think it would happen to my daughter, especially by a classmate. And I'm like, but something's got to be done. So, I feel like you're not going to get anything done unless you're a squeaky wheel. So I'm not afraid to be that. So, I just kind of went to the school board. I'm not surprised because I feel like people sometimes don't want to get messy, whatever, it'll just go away. They'll just, fade back and, in the distance. But I was like, not going to let that happen. My daughter is forever changed now. And, she thinks about applying for college or a job. She's like, Mom, is that going to happen? Are they going to come up? Are they going to resurface? And this kid's going to, go, no one will ever know what he did. And so it was like, something has to be done.
That's a great point too, because the victimization, I would imagine, it never ends, or at least the fear of being a victim as you go through life doesn't end. Elliston, talk a little bit about that. So you're worried that, 10 years from now, when you're applying for a job or a promotion or et cetera, that somebody's going to, type in your name into Google and boom, that's going to pop up. Is that what it boils down to?
Exactly. I mean, these photos are so easily able to come up. And with AI getting normalized, it's not going to be hard to get something like this to happen. Mm-hmm. So if I'm applying for a job or for college, any corporation can just see these images easily. And the reason that I'm wanting to go and share my testimony is so that way, instead of that coming up, I'm able to show how much I've been wanting to push this bill to help others, rather than these images come out and I am just, it'll hurt me more and ruin me more, mm-hmm. rather than helping others.
You're flipping the script on it, which I absolutely love. You've gotten very involved, both of you. You talked about being the squeaky wheel. Y'all have been squeaking really loud here and actually rolling along and doing some amazing things. I'm curious though, how consuming does this become in your life? Like how much has this become a part of your life to not only deal with what has happened to you, but to try to stop it from happening to someone else?
Well, it's become a lot. Probably, I probably jumped on it a little bit more than her in the beginning, just because she had to get her brain wrapped around it, her and all the girls. So that first semester that the school did put him in school suspension, but we were never told when he was coming back. So that whole first semester was kind of, we lived in fear thinking, oh, good, all right, we're going to wake up one day, go to school, and there he is. He's going to be in class next to the girls again. And it was really hard, and I thought the school could have done a better job as far as letting us know. He was out that whole semester. I went to the school board, spoke at the school board, my husband and I, trying to get them that we wanted him expelled. I mean, if law enforcement can't really do much, we wanted something to happen and we just couldn't get them to move on that. So his parents ended up taking him out of school. So the next semester he was gone completely, but not because the school stood up and did the right thing, which was heartbreaking because we really wanted them to do something to, put a marker, in the sand, like, if you're going to do this, this is what could happen. And so, but the school kind of took more of his side, we're obligated to give him an education, and they really made it out like, they had an obligation to him, where I was like, what about our daughters? What about what just happened? What about the fact that he, said he could, go out with a bang to the entire school? Where's your responsibility to the school and these girls? And, just really never got anywhere with that. So.
And you're also asking the school there in Aledo, I guess, like, what about my daughter's education? Like, how is she supposed to focus on what she's here to do? How is she supposed to be able to wrap her mind around, her schoolwork again, when this is, over here, just, kind of hanging in the balance.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a journey. So, yeah. I mean, he was ultimately charged with a Class A misdemeanor, which is nothing.
It's really a slap on the wrist, isn't it? Oh. Considering that you're changing people's lives and in some cases just wrecking people's lives.
Right. Exactly. And he was supposed to, I had filled out all the paperwork to where on his sentencing day, after the case went to the DA, that we would get to get up and tell what exactly happened. All of us girls could, if we want to get up and tell. And the DA never got the case. So some probationary officer just said, oh, he's not a harm. We're just going to give him probation. So he's going to do some community service work and then it'll go away. When he's 18, it'll be off his record altogether. Hmm. So where we'll live with that for the rest of our life.
So, but things are changing. Before we get into the new legislation here, so this is all going on. You're unable to get it stopped. It's still floating around out there. You turn to Washington next. What happened there?
Well, so the first semester, I think in October, towards the end of October, I just started calling anybody and everybody I could. I was leaving messages with anybody that would listen, anybody that would give me a voice. So I had done that with Senator Cruz's office. And so also with our local rep here, Phil King, as well with his office. And he actually lives in Parker County where we live and has kids that go to Aledo. So I just, anybody that would listen, I was leaving messages, the Texas Education Board, I mean, anybody that I could get a hold of. So I didn't really hear anything until after the new year. And Senator Cruz's office reached out to me and was like, listen, just want you to know we're trying to get a bill together. He heard your story. He has girls. He has two girls, one that's 13 and 16. So Elliston, you know, kind of sandwiched in between them, and they're on social media. So he's like, we're going to try to get something together. So they heard my story, let us tell it. And we're like, you know, we'll keep you updated. So
wait, was your mind blown here that this actually got traction after you had left these messages?
Yes. I was like, I mean, because after you know, for so long, you're telling your story to anybody that will listen, you know, the girls are trying to pick up the pieces and continue to go through school. And some of the girls are not coming back. You know, we talked about going to a different school altogether. They're going to go to private school. Not that it can't happen there, but I think some of them have been so traumatized by it that they don't want to go back.
This is life altering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most.
Were you the type before who used to reach out to lawmakers about things and rattle their cages and press them on things, or was this a first?
Yes, I have. I have before. I really.
Okay. So yeah. you knew the strings to pull here.
Well, I've just learned that through life that you have to do that. I mean, you have to make people step up. Unfortunately, I wish people would just do the right thing, but a lot of times you got to force their hand. So, you know, I knew I had to do something in this situation. So we just, like I said, I reached out as much as I can. And then Senator, our representative, Phil King, he's on a criminal justice committee right now for the state of Texas. And he's trying to get stuff in the law for Texas. So I went to Austin a couple of weeks ago before DC and spoke at their hearing there to try to, you know, get some other things in Texas law as well. Now, I think that having what Senator Cruz is doing overall umbrella, I mean, we're set. I mean, you know, there's some other things that need to happen as well. But when he called and said, you know, we're just trying to get bipartisan. We don't want this to be just a one sided bill. It has to be Democratic and Republican. It's really not about that. It's really about the kids. And so the support that it's getting is been amazing.
Yeah, and it's getting that bipartisan support. I'll get into that in a second. Real quickly, though, so these images have been out there for months by this time. It took the involvement of your home state senator here, one of them, Ted Cruz. He gets on the phone, calls Snapchat, as I understand it, and then things start to move.
Yeah, I mean, within 24 hours, they had taken the kids' accounts down.
After months. So-
8.5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Even with a warrant, the sheriffs here had done a warrant to Snapchat to try to get the accounts down and nothing. We never heard from them.
It's amazing what it takes. So you mentioned this bill that's been introduced by Senator Cruz. It's called the Take It Down Act. These are always acronyms. It's got a really long name. Tools to address known exploitation by immobilizing technological deepfakes on websites and networks. Take it down. And this has been co-sponsored by Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar and a whole host of other Republicans and Democrats. So it definitely has that bipartisan buy-in because I don't think there's anybody out there who would be opposed to protecting people from this sort of stuff. And this protects victims of real and deep fake non-consensual imagery being shared around out there. Basically, it would criminalize publication of that kind of imagery, or even the threat of publishing that kind of imagery, because we know that happens as well. And it this is really important. It would require sites to take down these images within 48 hours of notice from the victim after they, and to make a reasonable effort to remove copies out there as well. Elliston, what do you think about this? I mean, your story inspired this. What do you think about these protections being in place for other young people out there? Not just young people, but anyone, but especially for young people your age. So many of them have been dealing with this.
Well, when this whole situation occurred, it was really scary because these images were fake. So they weren't considered child pornography. So there wasn't really any punishments that the student could have because there was no law created. And it was really frustrating because no laws were created about any sort of thing that talked about AI. So I felt so helpless. But now that this is getting passed and that more insight is being brought on AI, it's relieving because no one else has to go through what I went through. And it just also creates punishment for whoever is behind these malicious acts and will allow them to serve 2 to 3 years in jail.
Mm-hmm. And so Senator Cruz is hoping to get this through and actually get signed into law by President Biden by the end of this year. So they're working on, you know, speaking in congressional standards anyway, a pretty fast track here with trying to get this thing through. I'm curious how this has changed you. Because, you know, you're at such an age of formation right now. I would imagine that this has changed you in some ways that you would have preferred not to be changed. But it has probably also changed you in some kind of amazing ways in that you are deciding to be empowered with this and to protect others and get involved.
Well, it's shown me that with a little situation that I felt totally helpless and I didn't even know what to do can turn into something so big. And it's really just given me strength and it's helped me show that anything is possible and that really you can go from anywhere. And it also, although it's made me feel like I can like do anything and my voice matters, but it also has shown me to be a lot more closed off because this happened to me and I never even thought about the situation or AI nudes or anything about AI in general. And I've been I've set a lot more boundaries and been very hesitant before posting on social media and very hesitant between any sort of thing like that.
I can see how that
would be protected, I think.
What'd you say?
I said, we're a lot more protected, I think. Mm. And not so, we think twice before posting stuff, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mom, I would imagine it has changed you a lot as well. I mean, you know, you want to protect your daughter always. I would imagine that this probably, you know, increases that times 10.
Well, I'm so thankful it's gotten traction. I mean, all the calls and emails and, you know, we just tried and it's just been great to actually get some attention to the situation because it's not going to go away. So it's only going to get worse. So, you know, this bill, getting it passed is just the beginning, in my opinion. I mean, schools need to have their student code of conduct, you know, brought up to where it needs to be in regards to AI. You know, and we're going to start it on the Texas level and try to get that to trickle down to these different school boards. But, you know, it's just kind of the beginning, but at least it's a good start with all of this.
But you can't be the only one up there at the podium at the school board meeting screaming. I mean, don't you want other students, teachers, parents to come out and say, hey, it's time. We're behind already.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I still have been fighting this whole semester to get the school to meet with me again, the school board to talk about these issues. And it's kind of been like, oh, yeah, we'll do it. And nothing's ever happened. So I hope that this traction, because I know we're not the only one. Like I said, it's the third thing that happened at her school. So I know there are other parents. I think they just don't know what to do. So the other 8 girls and their parents are very supportive of what we're doing. But I mean, they didn't think we'd ever go anywhere. So, you know, I hope that this will allow other students that this has happened to come forward and to talk about it. And like the little girl that it happened to here, she wanted to commit suicide. I mean, that never needs to be the situation. You don't need to live in fear. You don't need to. You need to come forward. And so hopefully this will show support. I've had people messaging me about their own situations, you know, and I'm trying to encourage them, go forward, you know, just go tell, don't stop. Don't be discouraged, you know, when maybe it falls on deaf ears the first time, doesn't mean it won't the second time. So it's like, just keep fighting.
I'll close with this. You know, so we've talked about this proposed legislation that's making its way through now, where, you know, non-consensual images being shared, you know, it would be criminalized, and you know, platforms will be forced to take it down if you, you know, complain to them about it. And this would apply to real images that somebody, you know, took, but they didn't intend for it to be shared with the world. And it would apply to, of course, these deep fake images like the ones that were made of you there, Elliston. Some people, I think, draw a distinction between those images and they say, well, you know, phew, thank goodness this one wasn't a real image of you. That makes things easier because it wasn't real. It doesn't make it easier, does it?
No. And if you were to see the images, if you were to see them, you would not know that they were fake. They are so realistic that it's scary. I mean, I know the original picture that was taken. A lot of us parents were there when those pictures were taken, but because of that app, I mean, it literally, it's them. I mean, it is child porn. So if you were a predator and you were just looking for child porn, you wouldn't know the difference.
And it wasn't it was never our intention for anything to happen like that. And with people creating these images, they were violating us and just innocent photos that they totally took and twisted it and made it disgusting. And it was horrific. All the girls were so scared, and it really just took a toll on all of us because we had never even thought about that ever happening to us.
Yeah. And that's the distinction I wanted to make there, is that even though, you know, portions of this photo were obviously not you, it might as well have been you, because your mind doesn't separate that out, and the shame is still there and the embarrassment and all of that is still there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you all are doing amazing work. Keep making that squeaky wheel squeak, because you've done some amazing stuff with this to help protect others in the future. Thanks so much for taking the time today. I know this is probably still a horrible, hard thing to talk about, even after you've testified multiple times and done so many interviews. But thanks for the real progress that you all have made on this.
Thank you for taking the time to do this. We appreciate you getting our story out there.
Yeah, we look forward to the follow-up when this is actually signed into law.
Yes. Well, we're getting a lot of headway. I think TikTok has actually signed on, and Meta as well. So we're making huge progress.
Big things.
Yeah.
Those are big things. Thank you so much for everything.
Okay, y'all. The conversation doesn't stop here. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. We're at Yolitics.
Very brave mom and daughter that you just heard from there, and they are affecting true change now. They were part of that hearing that was held in North Texas earlier this week by Senator Cruz, and after it wrapped up, we sat down one-on-one with Senator Cruz about this legislation he is sponsoring that aims to catch up with some of the problems that are being created now by artificial intelligence.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. For another smart conversation on Eolitics.
Senator, thanks so much for being here with us. This is the first field hearing that you have held as a senator. Talk a little bit about why with this issue in particular in this legislation.
Well, this past year, I became the ranking member of the Senate Committee of Commerce, Science, and Transportation. And the Commerce Committee has jurisdiction over about 40% of the U.S. economy. As the ranking member, I'm the senior Republican on the committee, and one of the prerogatives of a ranking member is the ability to hold field hearings. So this is not something that has been something that was available to me before. And I think it is important to, obviously we did this in Texas, in North Texas. One of our witnesses, Elliston Berry, lives in Aledo, lives not too far away from here. And so she was able to come and tell her story. And this is something that impacts Texans all across the state. And so I think it was valuable to listen. We do lots of hearings in Washington where witnesses testify, but to do it here at home where Texans could come and hear and listen and listen firsthand to the challenges that, that young people are facing, that, that teenage girls are facing, that women are facing, and the need to do more to keep them safe.
And Elliston has been so brave on this issue, and she is so well-spoken, especially for her age, on a topic that's so hard to talk about. How critical has she been to getting this legislation moving?
Look, I think she's done a fabulous job. She and her mother both came to Washington when we announced the legislation, and she shared her story then. And then afterwards, she joined me. We did multiple media interviews, and I got to say, it was amazing. She joined me on Good Morning America, and to see a 15-year-old girl, calm, poised, look, sharing really personal stuff that you could easily be uncomfortable, you could be embarrassed, and she's just got courage to say, here's what happened to me, it was wrong, and we need to stop it. I did joke with the host of Good Morning America, I said, you better be careful, she's coming for your job. In about 8 years, she's gonna be looking for your seat.
Maybe even before then, she's very poised. Let's talk about deep fakes here, just because for people who aren't familiar with these, there are very powerful tools to create these. It is extremely easy to do, and up to now, and including now, even if you're targeting a minor with these things, it's been easy to get away with.
No, look, I mean, you've always had the ability to do, say, a Photoshop, but the past versions of it have been pretty technologically clunky, that if you, you know, take my head and put it on Arnold Schwarzenegger's body, no one's going to believe it. And you know, it what AI enables you to do, what deepfakes can do, is create either images or videos that anyone watching would believe was real. That in these instances, what the deepfake apps did is they didn't attach the girls' heads to someone else's body, but rather they created an approximation of their actual naked body. I mean, that's a violation when you have a computer basically saying, this is what this child looks like naked. That is designed to embarrass, to violate, to exploit the victim.
And it looks very real. In fact,
and you can't tell,
Elliston's mom had to school me on how this is done, because I, you know, I was still thinking in the old ways of, you know, the more crude versions of this. This is pretty advanced stuff. As you've been going through the process with this, have you gotten a sense of how widespread this is?
We don't have exact numbers, and many of the victims never reported. So we
because
know
of the shame.
We know that what we're seeing is the tip of the iceberg. We have seen that the victim advocacy groups are reporting thousands upon thousands of instances. You heard in the field hearing where I asked about the sexual assault hotline, and they said in the past few days they'd had, I think, 36 reports of it in the past few days. So that is one snapshot of the frequency of it, and again, with the caveat that there are many more that we don't know about.
This will hold tech companies accountable, something that we haven't seen up to now. We haven't seen them policing themselves on this. Have you been hearing from the tech companies? Has there been pushback here on this?
You know, there hasn't yet. I don't know if they will push back or not. I hope they don't. I mean, this is the right thing to do. If there's any modicum of corporate responsibility and integrity, the right thing for the tech companies to say is we want this bill because it's a rule that makes sense. I hope that's where they end up, at least to date. Now, we just rolled this out, so this bill is brand new, but at least to date, big tech has not been lobbying against it. And look, when this came out, we very deliberately built a broad array. We came out with 14 co-sponsors in the Senate, 7 Democrats, 7 Republicans. My lead partner is Amy Klobuchar, Democrat from Minnesota. Amy has a lot of respect and credibility among Democrats. I have at least some among Republicans, the two of us together. I think coming out with that many co-sponsors and that broad a coalition helps this bill gain real momentum. And we also have over 40 victim advocacy groups and groups engaged in protecting those who are targeted either by online exploitation or sexual assault or all the different kinds of victimization. We're seeing a broad array and a broad coalition of support. I think that's one of the ways that we get this across the finish line and sign it a law.
Is this the beginning, in your estimation, of us trying to get our arms around the whole idea of AI and legislation to address AI? Because up to now, a lot of people have felt like, you know, this technology is moving a lot faster than what the law can handle at this point.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot we need to do on AI. It's an issue that is enormously important. There's a lot good about AI. It's easy to demonize it, but there's enormous productivity gains that we're going to get that are going to benefit consumers and be good for the economy and drive economic growth. And my number one priority in the Senate is jobs. That's what Texans are focused on. We want more jobs, higher paying wages, and I think technology, I think AI will help produce good jobs. It's also going to raise new challenges. And some of those challenges will be able to be covered by existing laws. So for example, you know, if you create something that is fraudulent using AI, we have existing fraud laws that can go after that. In this instance, the exploitation of actual people using deep fakes is something that falls between the cracks of the law, that there's not currently a federal law that covers it, and in many states there's not a state law that covers it either. And so I think this is an example where the technology is moving, and if you want to protect victims, we've seen states act to protect non-consensual sharing of explicit images that are real, that say a boyfriend and girlfriend take explicit images of each other, they do so consensually, and then they have a bad breakup, and one or the other is mad and says, I'm going to post this to the world, I'm going to send it to your mom.
And importantly, this legislation addresses that too,
not just the deep fakes,
because somebody consented to a photograph, they didn't consent to the whole world seeing it.
Right. Now, that is another form of abuse, and one of the witnesses we had today, Ms. Toops, shared the struggle that she had with pictures that she said she took voluntarily, but she didn't consent to their being made public, and she's been victimized by that for over a decade. And this is all about, you have a right to consent or not consent. And if you don't consent, you should have a federal right to have any tech platform take the image down.
Senator, I know we're out of time. Thank you so much for doing this with us. Really appreciate it.
Click subscribe and get Y'all-itics every week. Eolitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
So we're going to keep an eye on this because, again, this, you know, by congressional standards, is on this hope anyway of getting through on a fast track. They're thinking that they might possibly be able to get this thing passed and signed into law by the end of this year. That is the aim right now anyway. But again, because this affects so many people, we'll keep a real close eye on this one, and we'll keep you updated. All right, if you're not subscribed to Y'all-itics, please subscribe, and they will drop automatically into your little box there so that you know when new episodes are out. And hopefully, by the time we get to the next one, Whiteley will decide he misses me. We'll see you again next time.
Hey, y'all. Want to see the Jasons Talk Politics? Download the WFAA Plus streaming app for your smart TV and watch the latest episode of Y'all-itics each Wednesday night at 8:30.